We've now sunk to a depth at which restatement of the obvious is the first duty of intelligent men. And this week's opening quote comes from George Orwell. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. Good old George Orwell, he always did have a way with words. And the restatement of the obvious is really what I've been doing on these shows for so many years. It's really what so many of the independent media is doing. It's just a restatement of the obvious. The world's run by criminals, and people simply aren't facing that fact, which is really the root cause of all of our problems. And really, restating the obvious to people is something that's going to go a long way to bringing about change in people's consciousness, because stating the obvious is something that people simply aren't prepared to do. You know, very often anyway. I mean, we look at this system, we look at everything that's there to control us, and we look for all of these ways through. We look for petitions to sign, all this stuff that we do, voting people in, voting people out, all the stuff that we've talked about, all the legal rabbit holes we've gone down and explored, all the free man movements that have started, everything that's been done, all these avenues we've tried and all these rabbit holes we've gone down for years on air, everything that I've mentioned on the show. But in attempting to find a remedy or construct any action that may lead to remedy, in the course of that action, we never really state the obvious. And the fact is that the world is run by people, just people, and that the obvious fact is that all these people are criminals, and we're simply not prepared to face that. We're not prepared to state it anyway. You know, like I said, we go down all these rabbit holes of petitions and going to marches and meetings and all this sort of stuff. We don't simply call things for what they are. You know, the world's run by a bunch of criminal scum who are driving the world into the ground and driving all the people into the ground with it. And they're currently rolling out their surveillance system, not to keep us safe or to give us good communication, but to protect themselves and to control everybody else. That's what's happening. And people don't simply face that for what it is and call it for what it is, and people should. Now, that's where the problem lies. It's our need to be politically correct all the time and simply not call things for what they are. We always want to say the safe version of what we feel, because we're too scared of what people may think about us. We're too scared of actually standing in our own personal power and simply saying what we feel. And that's what we should do. If we did that, we'd probably make a big difference. At least perhaps we would inspire other people around us to start standing up for themselves as well. And that's what I've been trying to do on these radio shows. Actually, I've written a series of blogs lately that I've posted to Steemit. I've written probably four or five essays that I'd really love people to read if they've got time, because I've put a lot of heart into them, and I think they're pretty on-the-point essays. And for those people who don't really want to listen to the radio show, and those people who don't get time to listen to the radio show, well, there's a few short articles that perhaps you could share with your family and friends, and perhaps that would do something to crack that little shell. If there's someone who's asleep anyway, perhaps these articles would help you. Because a lot of people, you'll find a lot of your parents or friends or siblings don't really want to sit down and listen to an hour video, even a 10-minute video. But very often they'll sit down and read an article over their cup of coffee in the morning. So that's why I've put them out there, and that's on my Steemit blog. And you'll find a link to that on my website, thecrowhouse.com. You'll also find links to the articles in the articles section on my website. If you simply go there and click Max Egan Articles, you'll find links to all of those articles on Steemit. And yeah, I do urge you to read them, folks, because I think they're on point, and I think that perhaps they will help to crack the shell with some people. And do bear with me with the articles, folks. I mean, this is something new for me, and I'm not much of a writer. I'm kind of a fledgling writer, still finding my writing legs, as it were. So I sort of tend to ramble a little bit, but I guess I tend to ramble a bit on the radio shows anyway, so I suppose you're probably used to that, so I'm sure it'll fit right in with the Steemit articles, and you'll probably even hear my voice in your head when you read them. But I'm going to be putting articles on Steemit pretty well, as much as I can. I mean, I've been posting articles every day on Steemit, and I'm going to try to continue to do that. I don't know how much I'll be able to continue to do it while I'm traveling and when I'm in airports and things, although maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's something that you can do in an airport when you can't do anything else, is you can write an article and then post it to Steemit later on. But I'm going to just try to put some of my thoughts down there almost every day if I can, and just share a little bit of what I'm thinking with people, because I think it's a good platform. I think it's a good way to get information out to people. And like I said, a lot of people do prefer to read things rather than listen to things. And especially a lot of people have trouble with bandwidth, and they have trouble streaming videos and For those people, you can just, of course, listen to the show on American Voice Radio, or you can download the MP3s on thecrowhouse.com. If you go to the radio archives, you can download the MP3s from there. A lot of people ask me where they can get the podcast of this show, and I'm not sure. There was someone who was uploading podcasts for a while, but I don't upload podcasts to iTunes myself because I don't use iTunes, and I have no real idea how to make a podcast. It's just something that I've never done, so if anybody would like to start a podcast section for thecrowhouse.com or anything like that, I mean, anybody wants to start uploading podcasts or creating podcasts and uploading them or whatever, going back through the archives and uploading archives of podcasts or whatever, if anybody would like to take that on, I'd be very happy to put a link to it in the Crow House radio archive so that people who do come to the website can simply click a link and go download a podcast if that's what they want to do. Like I said, I do have the MP3s available on the website for anybody who wants to do that. The show's going way back as far as even 2008 are all there in the archives, I think. But like I said, I don't have any idea how to do it myself. It's just some technologies I've never really looked at, folks. I can make motion graphics and make movies and do all sorts of stuff, but I have no idea about iTunes. I installed it once and I didn't like it. It kind of took over my system and I couldn't find I could create playlists. I found it to be extremely user unfriendly and it wanted to take over my whole system and everything that I had that was anything to do with media, and it wanted to claim my own original songs as part of iTunes and all sorts of stuff. And I just thought this is not a good thing. So I uninstalled it immediately and went back to normal. So I just play MP3s. So yeah, it's just a little side rant anyway. If someone would like to take that little task on, it would be great to add a podcast section to the website, a proper podcast section, simply because I get so many requests to do so, but have no idea how to do so myself. So anyway, a little bit of housekeeping there. Back to the show. Yeah, our main problems are that people won't really acknowledge, or they're not prepared to acknowledge, the fact that all that really exists in this world here, in our society, are other people. And that's really the problem, you know. Like, the people that we believe to have authority over us don't. They're just people. You know, they write all this stuff down on paper and call it law, and we go along with it because we believe we should. But very often it causes us to step outside our moral compass to do so, and all this law does is cause harm anyway. So why do we really go along with it? That's the question. And the reason is because we've forgotten that it's just people. And not only is it just people, but in relation to government, these are people that we actually employ to do things that are not really what they're doing. We actually employ these people to manage infrastructure, and they're doing exactly the opposite of what we employ them to do. And like I said, at the moment, they're in the process of bringing online this whole smart grid, which is really going to limit our movements and control every aspect of our lives according to what they want it to be. That's the problem. And that's something, that's a message that I've brought to you for so many years, like for 10 years on the show, I've been saying virtually that same thing. And it's still true to this day because we simply haven't done anything about it. And now that power is being consolidated into the smart grid, it's all looking very bad. And the problem isn't technology, it's who's controlling the shift into this technological future. I mean, in a good world, in a world where things were open and transparent and we had some form of honesty in government, if we're going to have government at all, then a smart system wouldn't be bad. It'd be very beneficial for us. A digital cashless society wouldn't even be bad. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with technology. What is wrong is who is in control of the world at the moment. What is wrong is the fact that the world is run by criminals, and no one is simply calling this one simple fact in any of the plans that they're creating for the future. They're just simply not factoring it in. And people need to. They need to acknowledge the reality of what our situation really is. And look, really, it's just so obvious. I mean, it is. I mean, anything that you try to do, look at the world, look at everything that we can do and everything that we don't do. And you've got to ask yourself why we don't do it. Permaculture. It would be great. We could feed all of our countries. There wouldn't be a food shortage. We could turn every national park, or every park in every city anyway, not national parks, of course. We want to leave them the way they are, but slip of the tongue there, folks. But every park in every major city, we could turn this into a food forest. People's gardens could be food forests. All of this stuff could be edible, and we could be in a state of abundance. But we can't do it because government won't let us do it. We can't do cob housing, we can't do earth ships, we can't do all of these incredibly wonderful things that we could do to completely protect our environments and to put all of our societies into a state of abundance. We put all these ideas forward and all the governments look at them and all the councils look at them and all these bodies, governing bodies look at them and they say, oh yeah, great idea, but it never happens. Ask yourself why. It doesn't happen because they don't want it to happen. They don't want any of this stuff to happen because it would interfere with the way they run things, because they're running a pretty tight ship at the moment. They're getting a pretty good income from it, getting a lot of control over people, and so none of it happens. And it doesn't happen in any country. It doesn't matter what country you go to, it's the same. Look at the education system. Look how much the kids have been dumbed down. Look at how they've removed all the life skills from the education system. Look how people can't do the most basic things anymore. Why? Because government wants it that way. They don't want people to have all these life skills. And again, go around the world and have a look at the education system in every country. Sure, there might be different degrees of intellect interjected into the education system, whereby you've got more intelligent people coming out of one education system than the other, but they only be academically intelligent. They're only really intelligent in as much as they're good at programming, or they're good at this, or they're good at something like that, but it's always something that supports the system. It's never anything to do with life skills or anything like that. And again, it's the same in every country. Why? Because they don't want you to have all these life skills. They don't want you to have all of these things. They don't want you to introduce permaculture. They don't want you to have cob housing. And you need to step back and look at the world as one big stage and look at this and realize that what I've just outlined for you is the same in every single country. Because that should be the clincher right there. Just that realization. It's the same in every single country. Why? And that's the thing, you know, like, if you really want to understand global politics and really understand how things work, you need to get the concept of enemies out of your head. There are no enemies. None of these governments are actually working against each other. They're all working with each other. It's really easy to see. I mean, if you step back and look at it, it's a closed shop. This whole political system is a closed shop. It's who wants to pretend to be the enemy today so they can pretend that there's a threat to their nation so that their people need government. Or believe they need government anyway. That's the way it works. And they manufacture all these wars and they cook up all these threats so they can lock a police state down further and further at home, but they're all working together for the same agenda. You can look at government. I mean, this is why they meet in all these meetings like the United Nations and the Bilderberg Group and all these places that they meet. They all get together and they discuss policy. What are we going to do this year? Who wants to be the enemy this year? Where are we going to take things? That's the way it works. This whole threat with North Korea, this is a complete puppet show. The whole thing's a puppet show. I mean, where did North Korea even come from? It didn't exist before the Korean War. And what was the Korean War? What was that all about? Have a look at the CIA's involvement in that little operation, and you find out where North Korea came from. The whole thing's a CIA front anyway. I mean, sure, it's a country, it's run by a government, and there's all these repressed people there, but what really happens there is all run by CIA-controlled foreign policy. The whole North Korean situation was created simply to do what it's doing now. They need these little puppet states around the place. They need these little enemies all over the place so they can push their agenda forward. And look, now you see Trump talking to China and all this sort of stuff. Everything that I said was going to happen. It's all rubbing shoulders with China. China's going to come in and quell the situation. You can see new railroads being built all through Spain here. And everywhere that you go, you see this whole new Silk Road coming online, the new Chinese trade system all coming online, folks. And 5G, the smart grid, and all of this stuff is rolling out in every single country. And the smart grid is going to be held up by social crediting. We've already seen this in China, but it's coming on in Russia. It's coming on in the United States. It'll come on in Australia. It's going to come on in every single country. And it's all about keeping us safe, remember, because they need to have tracks on everybody and everything. They need to know what everybody's thinking, because that's what will keep us safe, of course. The government needs to have tabs on absolutely everything. And we should never question them on wanting to do this. Why? to protect us against all the terrorists from all the other countries. And every country has the same agenda going on. Every country is scared of all the terrorists from all the other countries. Who are all these terrorists from all the other countries? When you travel around, you don't see any. I'm here in Spain. I don't see any terrorists. I don't see any terrorists anywhere I go. I don't see them in the Middle East. I don't see them in Egypt. I don't see them in England. I don't see them in America. I don't see any of this stuff they tell us is happening. All I see is one big puppet show. And all the people of Earth are just sitting there enthralled by what their television is telling them, thinking that all this stuff is real. And it's one big puppet show run by this giant business called World Government, and they're all working together. And each country is like a different franchise, and they need to find ways of corralling their people and getting their people to go along with their agenda. And the agenda is this smart grid. The smart grid is the new world order. It always has been. All the other stuff has been a distraction. And all of the other stuff has led to the construction of the smart grid. Nationalism started it off to put this mindset into people, and then, of course, into nationalism, you inject multiculturalism, which brings all of the people from other cultures there. So, and this kind of has a threefold effect, because what it does is it homogenizes the human race and gets everybody used to having everybody else around. Plus, it also creates a division in the community, because all of the immigrants that you bring in, of course, always get benefits and handouts from the government, which makes the local people kind of jealous of the immigrants who come in, which creates a barrier in that community. So it never really homogenizes properly the way the people of the community would like. What it actually does is it creates a division mechanism within the community, because you'll never get the community to unite against the government when all of the people within the community are all from different cultures, many whom of which are receiving benefits from the government. And so they don't see any reason to speak out against the government, because they're getting quite good handouts. And of course, it's far better being there than living in the bombed out war zone that they came from, because that's another benefit of having multiculturalism interjected into your community. And of course, this is also a very useful mechanism that the government can use, because then all the people who are internationalism all get terrified of the people that are moving into their communities, because later on down the track, of course, you turn the countries that these people came from into terrorist nations by bombing the hell out of them, so that suddenly they become a threat to everybody. This instills all the fear into people. Nationalism itself instills fear into people, the need to have borders and protect yourself from the other guys, when really all you're doing is protecting yourself from the other government, not the other guys in the other nation at all, because they just want to live their lives and get along. It's the two governments that are always at loggerheads with each other, because that's the way they plan for it to be. It's all one big puppet show, folks. And what it's all for is to bring about the concept that we actually need government, and so that the government can do exactly what it's doing. And like I said, it's all leading towards the same agenda. And all of this stuff has been leading to this right from the beginning. All of these wars, all of the terrorism, even the concept of terrorism, where it all came from. What's it for? What's the purpose of it? Look at any terrorist group. What do they get from doing all these bombings? All that ever happens from a terror attack is more surveillance, more security, more need for more surveillance and more security, more need for everything to go smart, more need for everything to go digital, more need for a cashless society so we can track the moves of all the terrorists. Everything has led to this point ever since the introduction of technology, ever since the introduction of governments, ever since the governments were really invented and they started working together. It's all led to this point, most especially all the things that have happened in recent times. It's all been to lead to this point, the big final move. Everyone wondered what it was. Everyone thought it was a big police state that was going to come online, looking like something out of Equilibrium or some of these dystopian movies we get fed. But no one's really looked at it. No one's really looked at it deep enough to see what the New World Order really is and how everything that has happened, as I said, most especially in recent times, has all led to this point, and it's all been leading towards the same agenda all along. It's about the smart grid, folks, and it's always been about the smart grid, and all the governments have been colluding to do this right since the beginning. This has been the real plan all along. Even 9/11 has led to the construction of the smart grid. We wouldn't have this if it wasn't for 9/11. We wouldn't have any of this if it wasn't for the war of terror, the dire threat of terrorists lurking around every corner and under every rock, which is all complete rubbish. Most of these terror attacks are contrived. And now we see all this gun stuff going on in the United States. All these shootings are all staged by government. They're all staged by CIA, either that or they're MK Ultra victims, Manchurian candidates, puppets that have been controlled and pushed into that. All of them have got connections. The Orlando shooter's father was an FBI informant for years on end. I mean, everybody's got a connection to government in some way. Look at any one of these shootings. You find connections to government. You find connections to Israel. And it's all the same show, folks. I mean, even Israel is put there to do exactly what it's doing. It's a puppet show. The blame doesn't lay on the Jewish people for what's going on in Israel. It lays squarely in the hands of those who are controlling it. And these people don't really give a damn about the Jewish people at all. They're just doing what they need to do to push the agenda forward, the same as every other government. They're all working together, folks. All the world is a stage, and government is one big puppet show. A bunch of opportunists who've maneuvered themselves in a place where they can carry out racketeering at their free will and convince the people that we actually need these criminals to be there. When the fact of the matter is that we don't, and the world would be far, far better were these people not in positions of power. Our problem is that we don't simply call things for what they are and realize that all these people are criminals. They're all in abuse of office. They're all in abuses of the office that they hold. They're not even in abuse of power. They delegate powers to themselves they have no right to have. They're certainly not powers that we give them. It's just stuff they make up and write down on paper. Every single one of them is in abuse of the office that they hold. Every single one of them has contributed to the world situation on purpose due to the stuff they've written on paper. And every single one of them is supporting exactly the same agenda. And it's about time the people of the world woke up and realized this. You know, we're not going to get anywhere until we factor this into our equation. The fact that what we perceive as a government is in fact an international, multinational, multi-generational crime gang, a cabal that has been running this earth and its people into the ground ever since government was invented. And that's the truth of the matter, folks. It really is. I mean, you know it. I know it. We all know it. These people are criminals. They're scumbags. They're creating all the damage, but ultimately they're doing it because we're going along with it. And it's about time that we removed ourselves from this farce and created something a little bit better. But again, even saying that, we're never going to do that until we're prepared to name things for what they are. That's the first step. Even having conversations like this around the kitchen table is going to help things, but just be brutally honest in what you say. I mean, don't be confrontational, don't be aggressive, don't be angry, don't be insulting, but be brutally honest in what you say, and don't hold back. Don't say the safe version of what you're feeling. Say what you actually mean, and mean what you're actually saying. And look, it's really quite easy to do, folks, because all you really have to do is be honest about things. I mean, seriously, that's all you really have to do, is to be honest about things. I mean, have a look. Have a look at the world. Have a look at what government does. Everyone should really question that. What does government do? Have a look at your life and ask what government does for you. That's what they say, isn't it? Look, we're doing all this stuff for you. Well, what does government actually do for you? Have a look at your life, and when you really analyze it, really step back and look at how it makes you walk between all these lines and pay taxes and do all this stuff and how we end up in all of these states of hardship all over the place. What does government really do? It causes harm. That's all government does, is cause harm. Virtually every single piece of legislation that they put in place causes harm in some way. Even the road laws and all this sort of stuff, even seatbelt laws. I mean, sure, seatbelts protect lives, but there shouldn't be legislation to make you wear seatbelts. It should be common sense is educated into people enough that they actually want to wear seatbelts because it saves their lives. You don't save people's lives by fining them for not wearing seatbelts. What you do is you cause harm because you put them in financial hardship. It's basically extortion, saying you have to do what I say or I'm going to make you pay money for not doing what I say. And I'll push it. If you don't pay the fine, well, you'll go to jail. If you won't go to jail, they'll come and arrest you. If you won't allow them to arrest you, they'll kill you. So that's not really the way to do things. That's not a way to educate people into wearing seatbelts. What you have to do is educate them on the value of life, and they'll wear seatbelts by default. I mean, we don't need a nanny state to look after us when all it really does is cause harm. And that's a pretty easy concept to bring to people. The fact that everything government does is cause harm. I mean, look at the state of the world. All of the problems that we face in the world, all the wars, everything, all the pollution, everything that we face, all happens because the government puts little words on paper. They legislate that certain people are allowed to do certain things, and it creates all of this mayhem and mess that we see in the world. And you go and try and do something, and you go and try to fish on the beach, try to do something in everyday life that we used to do when we were growing up as kids, and you find out that you're not allowed to do any of this anymore. And if you do, the government comes and causes harm towards you. So really, things are a little bit out of balance here, folks. We need to get things back into perspective. Start having conversations like this with people and start helping them realize why their lives are in such a state of hardship and what the role of government really is, because the role of government has ceased to be anything even closely resembling governing people in a way that serves and protects them. All it is now is controlling people, limiting people's potential, limiting what people can and cannot do. And as I keep saying, the rollout of this 5G and this smart grid is the be-all and end-all for these people. This is the consolidation of their criminal system if we don't pay attention to it. And as I keep pointing out as well, it isn't the technology. That is not the problem. The problem is who is in control of the technology. Now, we could shift into a smart system, not a problem, as long as the world isn't run by criminals during that shift, because that is who is controlling the shift. And if we do not factor that in, then we are heading into very, very dark waters, folks. Uncharted territory. And once we get into that territory, it's going to be a very, very difficult place to maneuver ourselves out of. That's the problem. You know, the people growing up will have no reference point for what it was like before we were in a digital world. You know, if we're going to have a digital world at all, it needs to be very, very carefully managed. And the people that are running it are simply not doing that. And what they're doing is they're allowing it to manage itself. It's all heading towards AI, and eventually they'll lose control of it as well. I mean, it's not going to be a good system, the one that's coming online, most especially if it involves political correctness, social crediting, and the inability for anybody to be able to question government or authority in any way, the inability for anybody to be able to challenge any algorithm, the inability for people to even be able to get access to real information because their algorithms will be tailoring what they have access to based on what they've already had access to. You've already seen this happening with a lot of the YouTube algorithms and Facebook algorithms, the way if you click on something, they'll give you more of the same. And when you search for things, they'll give you more of the same. The search engines will give you what they expect you want to see, not what there actually is to see. And it's a very dangerous situation that we're heading into because we simply don't know if the people around us are getting access to the same information that we're getting. And so how do we know what's going on anywhere? And how can we ever discuss anything with anybody when no one has access to a common pool of information? And that's where we're going. That's where the smart grid will take us if we're not careful. But I think we've reached break time here, folks. I'll leave it there for now, and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me in my ramblings on the show today. And I'll be back to speak to you again in a few minutes. Don't go away. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So really, when you look at everything that I've just outlined for you in the first half of this show, the basis of our problem really is that we think we're just little people. And this is something that I've stressed over time and time again on the show. It's something that I've actually stressed a lot lately in the 5 blogs that I've put on Steam, and it's been a little bit of a focus for me. But it's something that I really can't stress to people enough. You know, we're not just little people. All that exists in this world are people. All that exists within our social system are people. All that exists within our government are people. You know, we have this concept of authority. We have this concept of what the system is. But the system is just an idea. It's just an idea that someone put into motion. It's an idea that somebody had. It resonated with other people, and they put it into motion, and we ended up where we are. And the people that are running it are putting their plans into motion, and they've been continuing to do so for generations upon generations. Like I said earlier, this is a multinational, multi-generational cabal that has been putting this system in place for a very long time. And during the process, we've forgotten what we are. We've forgotten that we're people too. And we're not just little people. There are no such thing as little people. All people have value. And no people have any more value than anybody else. The whole concept of rulers, the whole concept of government, the whole concept of royalty, the fact that people claim that they have the right to rule others by their bloodline, that is completely absurd. That is egotism taken to the next level, that you actually believe you have the right to lord over other people because of your blood. I mean, who in hell do you think you are? And that's a question that we just don't ask people. Who the hell do you think you are? And that's what we should ask government when they come to ask things of us and make us do things. We should simply ask who they think they are, because they're our employees and we don't employ them to do what they're doing. But when we go to court, we don't do any of that sort of stuff. If they ever come for us, you know, and we do go to court, we get someone else to speak for us, we plead, we beg, we do all these things. We never simply ask the question of who do you think you are? Why do you think that this legislation you're putting in place has any effect over me? Why do you believe you have a right of ownership over me? Why do you bring me in here to cause harm against me? What do you believe you have the right to do this? Who gave you that right? Who are you anyway? You're someone that we appoint to power. How can you believe that you have such a right of ownership over another human being? What do you believe gives you the power for this? What do you believe you get it from government? Well, where does government get its power from? It gets it from the people. Where do we get our power from? We get it from God. So unless you're claiming you're a higher authority than God, then I don't see where you fit into the equation. Who are you? Well, what is this? Where did this legislation come from? Who wrote the legislation which is causing me harm? Why did you even believe you had the right to bring me in here? Who's the person who wrote this thing down on a piece of paper? Bring him in here so I can talk to him, because I'd like to know what his problem is with me. And I'd like to know why he presumes that he can cause harm towards me, because he can't. I'd like to know who this person is. If he believes he can cause harm against me, then I would suggest he is sitting in abuse of the office that he's holding. And I'd like to question him about that. I'd like to question him about the validity of this legislation anyway, even before you believe you can inflict it upon me, because he can't write legislation like this without it being vetted by someone. Obviously no one is, because this legislation is causing harm. So what's going on here? Who are you people? And how do you believe that you have the right to do this? Yeah, and when you really look at it, folks, you look at what these people are and who these politicians are. You'll find that most of them are in support of international war crimes and things anyway. I mean, you can bring it back to Israel. Again, whether you support the Israelis or the Palestinians, whichever side you want to be on, it's irrelevant. The fact is that Israel is carrying out war crimes, i.e. it is in breach of the Fourth Geneva Convention. It's supported by thousands of international politicians, which means they are all supporting open war crimes, which means they are all guilty under their own law, which renders all the legislation that they inflict on you to be invalid anyway. So you need to just ask the question, who are you people? And who do you think I am? Why do you think I am your slave? That's the thing, folks. There is no such thing as little people. You know, everything about this society has trained us to think we are little people, but we're not, because there are no little people. There's just people. And I can't drum this into people enough. I really can't. You know, that's the cause of so many of our problems, our failure to really perceive who we are. You know, our fear of everything. You know, we're in fear of authority, we're in fear of government, we're in fear of the system coming for us, but ultimately we're in fear of ourselves. We're in fear of ever really being ourselves, in fear of ever really expressing ourselves, in fear of ever realizing the power that we have, because, hey, that might mean that we have to take responsibility for things, like our life, or perhaps this world situation, or perhaps what our politicians are getting away with due to our failure to take responsibility for ourselves. But it's a fear thing. It's been ingrained into us. It's happened through generations upon generations of programming, subliminal programming, unconscious programming, indoctrination. It's taken a long time to get us to this point. Generations, as I said. And so there's no real easy fix for this. It's going to take a little bit of time to lead us back to a point of safety, but that's really what we should be focusing on, finding that point of safety. Now, we don't even need a plan for what the new system should be, if we even need a system. What we need to do is to find what we can do to stop this system from moving any further forward into this smart grid, and give ourselves a chance to regroup and get ourselves to a point of safety so we can regroup and so we can formulate some plan which will lead us to freedom. And what is freedom? Well, we don't know, because we've never been free. We've never had freedom, not anywhere that I can find in the human experience. We've had little modicums of it, little semblances of it. If we go and hide in the forest and pretend the rest of the world doesn't exist or something, perhaps we were free then. But, you know, we never really have been free. And imagine what it would be like if we were free and we had access to all the technology that we've got now, all the knowledge that we've got now. Imagine if the human race suddenly found itself free in the middle of all this. Imagine what we could achieve. It could be quite an incredible future if we were to just pay attention to what is actually happening around us and seize the crisis that we are in as one of the greatest opportunities we've ever had for freedom, because now we can see the system. It's all laid bare. It's there for everybody to see. Everybody can see what's going wrong. Everybody can see lots of little problems anyway. Even if they can't see the big picture, they can see lots of little problems. Even a lot of the little activist groups that we have throughout our society, you know, the Black Lives Matter, the White Lives Matter, the whatever lives matter, the white supremacist groups, the women's groups, the what groups, the this groups, the that groups, whatever. All of them are fighting for some cause that they believe is right. And all of them are attempting to put a band-aid on a symptom. None of them are really looking at what has caused all the problems, and none of them are really looking at what their movement is really doing, which is just creating division, and it's all been contrived, and it's all been made that way, because all of the problems that all of these groups are facing all come from government, and none of the groups are actually addressing the government. They're addressing other people in the community that they perceive to be the blame, but these people aren't to blame. These people have just had access to different information, so they believe different things, and so they're fighting for a different cause, which is just another symptom of the same problem, which is the division that government has put into the system. And it does this in every way, shape, and form that it can, just to keep us fighting against each other and never really paying attention to what they're doing and never really realizing that all that exists here is people. This whole social mechanism, it doesn't need to be the way it is at all. None of this needs to be the way it is. None of the stuff that we have with each other actually needs to be there. All of it's contrived. All of it is us measuring ourselves up to standards that aren't ours, perceiving our lives should be something different to what they are, because everybody's lives should be different to what they are. Even people who get success, they get riches and they get wealth and they get fame and they live in these big houses and they sit back and pretend to enjoy it, but they don't. It doesn't give them happiness. It doesn't give them anything that they want. It just isolates them from everybody else. They don't know who their friends are because everybody wants their stuff, wants to be around them because they're affluent. So they never really get to experience life. Nobody really gets to experience life from a real perspective, not within this social system, because this social system is designed to ensure that that never happens. It's very purposefully done, folks. It's all designed to bring us to this point, all of it. Now, when you step back and you look at it, the whole thing's a puppet show, folks. Even the little social division mechanisms that we have, like these little groups that I was mentioning before, all this stuff, it's all designed to be that way. All the groups are designed to be fighting for the cause that they believe is right, but it's actually just a bunch of people looking in the wrong direction because they've been trained to do so, and it's about putting society against each other. Again, that's what all this multiculturalism is about. It's not about just homogenizing people. It's about putting cultures against each other and creating a situation in your society where you'll never get the entire community to unite against the government, because all of the community is always at loggerheads against each other. And there's elements within the community that actually like the government because they're getting benefits from the government. So we don't want to rock the boat too much. Even a lot of the people, a lot of the activists that you see that speak out against the government, you might find that they're on a pension, they're on the dole, they're on whatever. And they'll speak out against the government just so far that they don't lose their payments every couple of weeks. That's the way it goes, folks. So we've got to step back and see how we're being played and what this mechanism really is. You know, as I've said for so many years, you know, one of the biggest allies that you've got, one of the biggest assets you've got is the people around you. If we could just put down our stuff with each other and unite with our communities, just get to know your neighbors, put common unity back into your local community so that you can all stand together against this system, we change the world in a day. You know, if everybody just liked each other and someone stood up and pointed their finger at government and said, hey, you guys are causing harm, everyone else would say, hey, yeah, what he said. We don't want you people there anymore. We're going to do something else. You guys can come with us if you want. We can bring government along. You guys can come and join the flock and come and join the group and have a happy life. And we'll all live together in happiness and live in a world of abundance. But we're not going to do this anymore. We're not going to play your game anymore. If you guys want to do it, you can all go live on Christmas Island. All you government members, all you politicians, you can all go and live on one of those little places somewhere, and you can all live together, and you can have your little hierarchy, you can see your little games in motion. We'll give each of you a hammer so you can each have a war if you want to. But we're just not going to do that anymore. We're going to do something that benefits humankind. We're going to turn this world into a state of abundance because we can, because we've remembered who and what we are. And we've realized that everything you guys have done has been to lead us away from that, lead us away from the memory of who and what we are and the ability to stand in that, you know, to know the truth about ourselves and to stand in the truth of ourselves. That's how you change the world, folks. Know the truth, be the truth, and stand in that truth. And all you have to do that is know who and what you are and to realize that there are no little people. Like I keep saying, I cannot stress that enough. There are no little people, folks. You know, every idea that ever happened, every problem that we face, everything that's ever happened to the world, doesn't matter whether it's a good thing, whether it's a bad thing, every single thing that's happened in regard to this system, into the social system, the economic system, any war, any great invention, anything that has ever happened that has been created from the hand of man, ultimately came from the spark of an idea within the mind of a single man or a single woman. It was just an idea that they had. They expressed that idea. They put that idea into action, into motion. It resonated with others, and it became a reality for the entire world because they put it into motion. But ultimately, it was just an idea. And that's what this system is. It's just an idea. Someone had the idea of how he could control everyone. They started putting this little thing in motion, this little hierarchical thing, this little leadership thing, and people started following because that's what people do. They put this idea in motion and they started realizing how all these ideas can work, and then they started convincing the little people out there that they couldn't have ideas. Yeah, ideas will come. But they won't come from you. They won't come from anybody you know. They won't come from anybody less important than the real people at the top, the leaders who know what they're doing. Don't think you know what you're doing. You don't really know what you're doing because you can't afford real education, because you were born into a poor family, because your parents just weren't achievers the way they should have been. So don't hold it against them, but don't really think you'll ever be anything, because you'll never be like us. You'll never live in these gold-plated houses and go to these gold-plated schools and learn all these stuff that we learn, because you simply won't be able to afford to. But don't worry about it, because we'll take care of you. It's all good. That's the way it goes, folks. And the whole thing's a program. These people are just people. We just need to remember that. And there's the way out of the system right there. There's the way to freedom right there. It's all in our minds, folks. This whole system is in our minds. Everything that controls us is in our minds. It's all just an idea that someone put into motion and everyone else went along with it. And it's about time we broke out of this programming, broke out of this mindset, got out of this mind control, and figured out a way out of this farce that we are currently involved in. Because it is, folks. It's just a farce. It's a complete farce. I mean, how do we ever do this? How do we ever let things get this far? Do we allow the world to get to the state that it's in? How do we ever lose the power that we had to such an incredible degree? You know, really. And of course, it's because of fear, the fear of facing authority, but really the fear of facing ourselves, as I said before. Because it's there. It's there in everybody. That ability to make change, that ability to really express yourself. Only this system trains you. You can't do that, but you can. And now's the time that we can. And there's so many tools here that we can use, but the most important tool is ourselves and the realization of ourselves. I really can't stress this enough. You know, all of the world is a stage, and you know, we've just forgotten what we are, folks. We have, and we've been trained to look at things from a completely skewed perspective. You know, most people's concept of the world comes from what they're given by the international media, the mainstream media, and it's all an illusion. It's all rubbish. Like I said earlier, none of these governments are enemies. They all work together and they're all working towards a common agenda. Even nuclear war, there'll never be a nuclear war. There's never ever going to be a nuclear war. Don't even let this come into your mind that this is a threat, because it isn't. There is not ever going to be a nuclear war, because it's counterproductive to have a nuclear war. It destroys all business, and the world is run by business. Nuclear war is no good because it destroys real estate, it destroys valuable buildings, valuable real estate that people want to use. And I question the reality of a nuclear war ever happening. I think it's a threat that is always there, because it's a very useful threat to have to keep people under control. But an actual nuclear war is not ever going to happen. There is no nuclear threat between any country. There is no arms race. This arms race is simply to siphon money off into black budgets so they can do other things with it. They're not going to blow anybody up with nuclear weapons. It doesn't serve any purpose to do that. And really, when you look at the whole system, the whole smart grid, and what the New World Order really is, which is the smart grid, nuclear weapons don't fit in there. They don't fit in there anywhere into the equation. They could possibly have any meaning whatsoever. Would not serve any purpose. It's not about that. And you don't need nuclear weapons to control population. You don't need nuclear weapons to wipe people out. You don't need nuclear weapons as a deterrent. You don't need them as anything other than a threat to the population or the perceived threat for the population in order to keep the population in fear, in order to make them think that the other guys are coming to get them, when really they're not. The whole thing's contrived. The whole thing is designed to be that way. All of it is an illusion, folks. The whole thing's a puppet show. It's all designed to keep people distracted with the right hand so they don't notice what the left hand is doing. And the left hand is the smart grid and the IoT, the Internet of Things and social crediting, and that is what it has always been. Right from the very beginning, that's what this whole Chinese system is about. That's what this whole posturing with North Korea is about. And again, you will see the United States lose its position as the global reserve currency through this whole conflict with North Korea once the Chinese One Belt, One Road system comes online. But in order for that to go smoothly in the United States, they first need to disarm the people. And that's what all this gun control thing's about. It's about disarming the people, not to keep them safe, but to make sure the people are not in a position to be able to fight back against what is coming. Yeah, it's really got me amazed how people have returned their faith to government, so much faith to government in the United States. It really has. So much of the activist community still have hope in Trump. So much of the activist community still has hope in QAnon. And look, what QAnon is doing, the information that's coming out, is great. But the question is, what are people doing with the information? What they're doing is they're sitting back and they're waiting for forces within the government to fix this problem. But they're not going to. Of course they're not going to. Why would you think that government, which is the institution that has created the problem, is going to be where the solution comes from? People think, oh, there's white hats in there that are going to do the right thing and going to come in and bat for us and arrest all the bad people. Well, so what if they do? What does that do for the smart system? Is anybody addressing that? Is anybody talking about the smart grid? Is anybody talking about the IoT? Is anybody talking about social crediting? How much do you hear from Q about social crediting? How much do you hear from Q about any of the stuff that I've addressed on the show today? How much do you hear from any of these sources about the fact that there are no enemies? You know, all this stuff that they give us, folks, it's all fiction, and you're not hearing any real information from Q. Nothing that we didn't know anyway. Well, I guess you are hearing real information, but nothing that we didn't already know. You're getting kind of a confirmation of stuff we know, but again, you can't even really say it's confirmation because you cannot really confirm the source of where it's coming from. I mean, it could be anybody. It could be a conspiracy theorist. Doubtful. It's very likely it's some source from government, but who is it? That's the question. And what is really happening from it? Because you could be getting this information, you could be sharing with the community, and you could be making a difference on the ground and doing it that way. But that's not really happening. That's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing a lot of people reporting on what the latest Q dump is and just sitting there and telling everybody what's about to happen. But we're still not seeing anything real take place. And again, even if it does, what difference is it going to make to what the system really is? What difference is it going to make to the smart grid? What difference is it going to make to the 5G system that's rolling out? All the towers that are coming in all around all of our countries. What difference is it going to make to any of it? And why would anyone in their right mind possibly think that the remedy is going to come from government, regardless of what face that government takes? It doesn't matter what Trump looks like. It doesn't matter what it looks like he's doing. You know, he wants to take your guns and build a wall around the country to keep the people out, of course, just to keep the enemies out. He wants to keep the people safe by removing them of their firearms and building a wall around the country. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, that's how you keep the people safe, isn't it? You build a wall around them and you disarm them so they can repel invaders. Of course, that's what you do. I mean, at the moment, no one would invade the United States because there's a gun in every household. There's hundreds of millions of guns in the United States. You're never going to invade that country because, as the Chinese said, we would never invade the United States because there would be a gun hiding behind every blade of grass. And that's the way it is at the moment. That's what keeps the place safe. Regardless of how dilapidated the place is and how dysfunctional the place is, it's still pretty impossible to mount a ground invasion against the United States because the people are armed to the teeth and they never let you come in. But they can change all that by simply protecting you against school shootings. And as was said by Larkin Rose recently, the people that are standing up there and standing up against gun violence and calling for the disarming of the population in the United States, these people are actually advocating gun violence because they may be against school shootings, but they are not against gun violence because they are advocating that armed agents of the state use violence or the threat of violence against other people in order to disarm them, many of whom are completely innocent of any crime. And that's a real problem because these people out there protesting for a reduction in gun violence are actually advocating the state use gun violence to achieve those ends. That's pretty contradictory, and it's pretty ironic that people would be doing that, most especially when what they're actually doing is they're removing themselves of their Second Amendment rights. They're saying they don't need those rights because you don't need automatic weapons for hunting, but the Second Amendment was never about hunting. It was about protecting the people from exactly the situation they are currently facing. And it's very important that people take that into account when looking at this current gun debate that is going on in the United States. All the world is a stage, ladies and gentlemen, and nothing is what it seems, and everything is leading to the same point. It really is, and it's imperative that people pay attention, because there is a window of opportunity here for us right now, but if we allow that window to close, well, it's going to close pretty tightly shut, and it'd be a shame to let that happen. But I think we do have a huge window of opportunity, and I am seeing huge waves of awareness. People are at least shaking the sleep out of their eyes and realizing that something's terribly wrong. It's just that people are often looking for the solution in the wrong places. And even with some of the stuff that I post and on my blogs and in the radio shows that I do, people say it's all very well to look at all this stuff and look at all this information, but what is the solution? And they really can't see it. They need it spelled out for them, and that's what I've been trying to do, because the reality is that the solution is you. The solution is each one of us, simply standing in who and what we are. You know, the solution is in realizing that there is no such thing as a little people and simply questioning the actions of those who believe they can control us. You know, the problem is we try to battle police on the side of the road or do it through the mechanism of the legal system and all this stuff. We never simply stand together and ask the right question, who the hell do you people think you are anyway? We just don't ask that. We never look at the people that we're dealing with as just being people. We view them as the Prime Minister or the President or someone important, but they're not. They're just people, the same as you, because that's all there is, just people. Once we get that in our heads, we'll change the world in a day. But anyway, folks, I think we're just about at the end of the show now, so I'm going to have to pretty well leave it there. I'm glad I got this show out for you. Look, I'd like to say a quick prayer for the people in Gaza as well who've just suffered such a terrible loss. Hamas, of course, have told people they need to march to the wall to stand up for what's going on. And, of course, Israel just bombed them all because that's the way Hamas and Israel work together. Hamas is really the ones who are to blame, but really you've got to look at who put them in place, and that was Israel, of course. The whole thing is a puppet show. Just to bring world attention to that situation and to get people trying to scream and cry for a situation they can't fix, when all they really need to do is step into their humanity and they could fix the situation in Palestine right away. But people just fail to do that. They're trying to find the remedy in government again, and it's not there. The remedy is realizing that it's all theater for the masses. It's a puppet show, and ultimately it's the people that suffer, as it always is, because we simply don't face the reality that the world is run by criminals. But that is it for me, folks. I've pretty well reached the end of the show. Thank you to all those who continue to support the show. Thank you to all the Patreon supporters out there. Again, I could not do any of this if it was not for you. I cannot thank you enough for the support that you give me. I will also look forward to seeing those people who can come and visit me at AB9 this year. That's taking place in May, and I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care until then. In La Keshe.